the devil's advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Back in the saddle in Waukesha. In the Shaw, I got Evan here at the World Headquarters, lightly screening your calls at 844-967-2789. Fancy Brian, want to play more sound of the nominee. Might be the only chance I get. You know, once the right starts crying, man, you're not going to hear much from the nominee because they're doing it for their own base. They're not actually asking questions per se, so much as whining like little bitches. Sorry to be so crass, but that's what they are. Let's get back to the nominee, the respectful nominee. I find her quite impressive so far. Let's go back to it. We ended with her support of police. We're going to jump back in here, Fancy Brian, at cut number 21, please. What she tells every defendant. Cut 21.
I tell that story to every child porn defendant as a part of my sentencings so that they understand what they have done.
And I think it's the victim story. She talked about a sentencing document. And there are people that are traumatized, obviously, for the rest of their lives. She takes that very seriously. More, she was a trial judge. Cut 22, please.
I was a trial judge, and my methodology has developed in that context. I don't know how many other justices other than Justice Sotomayor have that same perspective, but it informs me with respect to what I understand to be my proper judicial role.
And KBJ was also a public defender. Here's what she tells defendants. Cut 23, please.
What I say to him is, do you know that there is someone who has written to me and who has told me that she has developed agoraphobia. She cannot leave her house because,
again, describing a sexual assault,
everyone
victim
she meets will have seen her, will have seen her pictures on the internet.
Packing the court. Again, later, she has no comment. And she doesn't really need to comment on this point, but of course, they are seeking her comment. Cut 24, please.
In my view, judges should not be speaking to political issues, and certainly not a nominee for a position on the Supreme Court. So I agree with Justice Barrett.
Now, Ketanji Brown Jackson was asked specifically about abortion rights. Fancy, 25 is her response, I believe.
Roe and Casey are the settled law of the Supreme Court concerning the right to terminate a woman's pregnancy.
Yeah, Roe v. Wade is decided law, or at least we thought it was. And I don't think it should be controversial. That's how all these nominees answered that question. But so did Coney Barrett, and so did Kavanaugh, and so did Gorsuch. They all gave the same answer. But let's see if Roe v. Wade is decided law. That one's coming down the pike by summer. More from the nominee. Let's see, which one are we up to here, Fancy Brian? I want to get to Gitmo, the question of defending war criminals, and she defended war criminals. Cut 27, please.
Well, Senator, I don't remember that particular reference, and I was representing my clients and making arguments. I'd have to take a look at what you meant. I did not intend to disparage the president or the Secretary of Defense.
I'm sorry, folks. I can't give you more context on that. Judges are not policymakers. Cut 28, please.
I believe that judges are not policymakers, that we have a constitutional duty to decide only cases and controversies that are presented before us. And within that framework, judges exercise their authority to interpret the law and not make the law.
And on the appellate court, she has to follow precedent. But if she's impaneled on the U.S. Supreme Court, well, then they can decide precedent. The question is where would she stand on things like Roe, cut 29?
That is the nature of a right, that when there is a right, it means that there are limitations on regulation, even if people are regulating pursuant to their sincerely held religious beliefs.
Cut number 30, please. Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Roe and Casey, as you say, have been reaffirmed by the court and have been relied upon. And reliance is one of the factors that the court considers when it seeks to revisit, or when it's asked to revisit, revisit a precedent.
Ketanji Brown Jackson, I believe she moves on to talk about 9/11 defendants. Cut 31, Fancy.
Federal public defenders don't get to pick their clients. They have to represent whoever comes in, and it's a service.
Cut 32, she talks about the detainees.
That's what you do as a federal public defender. You are standing up for the constitutional value of representation. And so I represented, as an appellate defender, some of those detainees.
And, you know, ultimately, Lindsey Graham lost his you-know-what and said these people should be locked up forever. Lock them up, throw away the key. Well, I can understand that you might want to do that, but we do have a U.S. Constitution, and we should be preserving the rights of all defendants. Now, if convicted, yeah, absolutely. But unfortunately, a little waterboarding, some of the actions of the U.S. government against terrorist subjects, well, they put themselves in a indefensible position, talking about the government. You can't properly prosecute. You sort of wrecked it. So anyways, we'll come back. We'll talk about that in the next hour. Tom Nelson, fine U.S. senatorial candidate from Wisconsin, joins me live via Zoom next.
I would bring back waterboarding, and I'd bring back a hell of a lot worse than waterboarding.
He wrote his name so bigly.